Ben gave me the order of service this morning. It said Sermon Thick Trouble. I thought that was his new name for me. But no. If I move away, I'm sure Mark will dash over and move the mic around. Have we got the black one up there?
Yes.
That's all right. Let's just pray together. Lord, we want to hear what you have to say to us this morning. I just pray that you will open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
As we move through this series on the first 12 Psalms, we have, as Ben said, arrived at Psalm 3. Perhaps we could read it together. I put this slide in to remind us that it was written in Hebrew several thousand years ago in a culture totally different from ours, with a view of God which was of its time. Psalm 3, and if you want to follow it, of course it's on page 384. And it might be useful just to follow some of the verses as we move through. It's the first one to be ascribed to David. And it arises, as we heard, from a definite event in David's life. It's also described as a lament. And this usually comes about as a result of grief or guilt. You might remember the story about David's, shall we call it, dalliance? Oh. It's all gone posh, this, hasn't it? That's fine. About David's dalliance with Bathsheba. So let's briefly look at the event which triggered the psalm being written. David's son Absalom was threatening to kill David and take his kingdom from him. The situation became so grave that David actually left the walled fortress of Jerusalem to flee, eventually across the Jordan River. You can imagine it was a desperate time for David. King David just didn't know who was with him or who was against him. All he could do was flee and hope that he'd have time necessary then to regroup and get organised. And looking at the psalm, it seems to be divided into certainly three parts and possibly four. The first part I have called Scene 1, The Crisis. It seems that David had lots of enemies. He really, as I said, didn't know who was for him and who is against him. You can imagine him quoting that piece from Carry On Cleo about infamy. David, above all, was a real follower of God. Can you read the writing on that one, by the way? You can, good. To be taunted by the idea that God was no longer with him, I'm sure would have distressed him deeply. It would probably have frightened him in a sense. And David was in a desperate situation. All to do, of course, with families. It's more than likely that we've all had some family problems of one kind or another. For most of us, though, it may not have got to the stage where our life has been threatened. Although I do know families where that has been the case. Looking at the situation, we can probably guess how David might have helped. Scared. Anxious. Unsure of what to do. In a nutshell, he'd be thinking, is there any hope for me at all? In today's world generally, there's plenty to worry about. And we might ask the same question at times, is there any hope for the world? And that brings us perhaps to scene two of Psalm 3. What we note there is David, despite his predicament, retained his faith in God. He reassured himself by saying that God was surrounding him with protection. He said, "You are a shield around me," which you'll see in verse 3. Reminded of those times when you see the medieval armies, perhaps, with their shields and holding them above their heads to stop the rain of arrows coming down on top of them. He then goes on to declare that the glory of God is his glory. Rather strange words, perhaps. But I think what he meant there was that serving God was all he desired to do. And the only way that he could receive honour from God was to serve him. So remember, in David's time, honour was something you had to earn from God. It wasn't by grace. You earned it by being sort of extra holy or making sacrifices, particularly if you've done something wrong. See, Jesus hadn't yet arrived on the scene to change things. And I really like the next thing that David said. When we are bowed down with worry, we collapse into ourselves. Our head goes down. We then get this picture, this wonderful picture of being lifted up. Sitting up straight, if you like. We immediately feel better, renewed, strengthened. And we now come to part three of the psalm. After David had given himself a good talking to, he declared how much better he felt. He'd had a good night's sleep. And surprise, surprise, was still alive when he woke up in the morning. And he was no longer afraid. And the psalm ends on a note of supreme confidence. Remember, in the Jewish way of thinking, victory could only come if God fought on your side. Your human strength was never enough. So David's calling upon God to win this battle for him. Well, that's all very well. That's the story of the psalm. But it's absolutely useless if we don't find some relevance to today. So what points of application can we make as we consider this, what I think is a powerful psalm? But like a lot of psalms, I think it actually throws up as many questions as it gives answers. It calls us to ask, how do we see God? Our image of God may be the same or different to that of David. So it's worth asking the question. How do you see God? Because how you see God will determine, in a large part, how you live your life. This next slide shows just a few ways in which different people see God. Spend a moment looking at those and see if they match what you believe, or perhaps not at all. And I'm not going to make any comment on the merit or otherwise of any of them. For David, he believed that God stage-managed the world. And not just David, the whole of the time. And the people in it. So the way the psalm is worded is perfectly understandable for David to write. One thing I would agree with is the slightly ambiguous words on the next slide. And the psalm comes to a close with a plea for David to be delivered from his enemies in rather a bloodthirsty way. Strike my enemies on their cheek and break the teeth of the wicked. Isn't that wonderful, eh? Strike my enemies on their cheek and break the teeth of the wicked. You might be able to, I don't know. But I can't go along with the idea that God works in that way, thumping people and breaking their teeth. You might be sick to death of my repeating this most weeks. But for me, my God loves everyone. He loved David. He loves you. And he loves even me. So my prayer this morning is this. May this psalm help you to cope with the world and its concerns by filling your hearts with God's love. Amen.